Welcome back. This is Judaism from Within. Judaism understood from within itself, ideally being able to express Jewish values and Jewish goals from Judaism's standpoint. That's what Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch's project is, and we're going through his work, Chorev, which is the explanations of the commandments in the Torah, but specifically trying to give reasonings that based, well, that come from within the system. Rather than, I don't know, coming from outside the system, you're trying to express why Judaism's own goals are being accomplished by these commandments. And we're up to the category of six, the one categorized as mitzvah, which refers to acts of love. Acts that you are commanded to engage in purely by your relationship with God, purely by the desire to expand the self. No justice, no demand on you, but purely this desire to expand, this is desire to give, as being in the image of God, really the most sublime category, if you will. And we're discussing, this week, intermarriage. Not to marry outside the Jewish religion. Now this seems to be a bit of a strange commandment to put under the category of love. If you think about it, it would fit more under the category of justice. But what I want to do with you today is let's discuss the idea of intermarriage, and let's try and expand to see if there's a framework it will fit under to make sense of it being put into this category. Okay, let's begin at the basics. Why shouldn't you intermarry? And Rav Hirsch's opening is quite key. It's not about disdain for the other. It's not about not considering the others being created in the image of God. It's not about a distant from the Gentile. What is it? It's about the preservation of the Jewish mission. It's a positive move. We have a mission. We have a purpose for being here. But this shouldn't be at risk through intermarriage. Marriage is the core component in which a Jewish worldview is developed. It is developed through the union between a man and a woman, not purely by convenience or by a necessity, but by a higher calling. So marriage comes together, two people, and they are unified because of a higher calling. That higher calling is Judaism. If you have one with a different calling, then you don't have that union, and thereby you don't have the success of the marriage and the potential success of the Jewish mission. That's what we mean by marriage, and that's what we mean by the danger of intermarrying. And I think this argument isn't only, I don't know, utilitarian. Take it even today. So we've got this utilitarian argument, but it's not just about utility, it's also about higher spiritual callings. It would be a disservice to the non-Jew who is in this marriage, because marriage isn't just about convenience or companionship, it is about achieving a higher goal. The same idea that when Rav Hirsch talks about the purpose of Judaism, he says we have to ask, what is the goal of Judaism? And he does this in his 19 letters. When you have a business, you know what the goal of the business is, but when it comes to marriage, people don't ask this question. Why are we getting married? And Judaism has a specific answer to that, but it isn't only an answer that serves Judaism as a system, but it allows the couple to be unified in a deeper and more profound way, because they are working together towards a higher principle. To illustrate this on the ground, one of my students was asking me a question. This was back when I was teaching in Nottingham. He asked me, Rabbi, why should I not date someone not Jewish? Why? And the answer I gave to him, I think, really set into this point. I said, right now you're secular. Secular people. He wasn't a practicing Jew in any sense of the word, hence the question. And I said to him, well, right now, you have no spiritual aspirations. And he was a lovely fellow, and he was looking to date. I said, but one day you might. One day you might. And I think the closest port of call, being from Essex, is going to be Judaism. It might be Buddhism, it might be Catholicism, it might be Hinduism. But in all probability, what makes the most sense for you to at least investigate, genuinely, would be Judaism. Because Judaism has a rich spiritual path, rational path, philosophical path. You probably go to Judaism first. Now, wouldn't it be nice if you shared that with a couple? Meaning, the person you decided to marry, you both had that first port of call. Thereby, your marriage would be strengthened by your investigations. Your marriage would be strengthened by your investigation and the pursuit of this spiritual path. Your marriage would become more significant because of this journey. That's if you share a path. But if you don't, and she is a Christian, Well, she might want to investigate Catholicism. Right now, as I said, you're both secular. But she might say, well, what about Jesus? Now, without any criticism towards Jesus, that's going to be uncomfortable for you. Now, you might get on board. You might say, okay, you know what, we're going to do it. But why? Why put yourself up to that potential conflict? Because if I ask you, you project your children, are you okay with your children praying to Jesus? Now, this isn't a truth claim. It's not about whether Jesus is really the Messiah or God or not. But Jews very simply have a bit of a visceral reaction to that. And now a Christian would say, yeah, you have to overcome that. 100%. Perhaps that can be discussed separately. I'm giving a utilitarian argument to this student that one day you might want to go on a pursuit of a journey of spirituality. It makes sense to start in a position where you both share something. Don't amplify conflict when it doesn't need to be there. And if you both share a worldview, that is a beautiful direction that you both can take. Besides all the other advantages, be it anti-Semitism and sharing that difficulty, when anti-Semitism rises, this isn't from Rehersh, just a side point, when anti-Semitism rises, Jews feel it. Non-Jews don't feel it the same way. Not that they don't help, not that they aren't there for the Jewish people at times, but they don't feel it in the same way. To be able to connect with someone and having someone in your family who connects to these existential difficulties in the same way, once again, draws you both together. And that's Rehersh's point. Marriage draws you together. Marriage accomplishes mission, but if you both have a different perspective, that robs you of mission. That makes the mission impossible, and that robs not only you as an individual and your spouse, but also the Jewish people of a potential loyal member of the Jewish community. So the first argument is a practical argument, but a practical argument in relationship to the mission of a Jew. But if we develop this, Rehersh leans in on the idea that this isn't because of dislike of the non-Jew. Now, obviously, there are racists within Judaism, but Rehersh is coming at us through a tradition of love for the non-Jew. And how does he develop this? He develops this in the distinction between a ger toishav and a ger tzedek. You are obligated in justice towards an idolater, but a moral non-Jew, a Jew who abides by the foundations of ethics, the seven Noahide laws, this is the, let's call it the six negative, and the one positive, and the only positive expectation is an expectation of justice, well, then you are obligated to express love to them because of this closeness to what it means to be human. They are part of your community, not part of your community in the sense that they are Jewish and they share your mission, but they are part of your community that you have obligations towards them. And Rehersh explains that this is the Jewish vision of the world. We are a universalistic religion. And when I say universalistic, there's a student of Rav Hirsch called Rabbi Leo Jung from New York, who makes a really important distinction in the conversation with Christianity. He makes the distinction between ethical universalism and church universalism. When someone says Judaism is a universal religion, what do you mean by that? He says we are an ethical universalist religion. Specifically, it's about your actions. For a non-Jew to become a Jew, it's only a question of actions. It's not a question of acceptance of the church. The church universalism is you have to be part of the church. Only through the church will you achieve salvation. But for a Jew, it's all about the action. Whether you become a Jew or don't become a Jew, we have this principle that every person has a share in the world to come, has a share in whatever we mean by this, obviously, is difficult to define, and any language we use will be borrowed, but we have this idea of the next world. But it isn't only for the Jew. To the same extent, a non-Jew can achieve it. A non-Jew can, of course, achieve the next world. Why? Based off their actions, not based off whether they come through us. We're universalistic in the ethical framework, not in the religious framework. What you do defines how we think God looks at you, whether you become Jewish or not. That's what Rabbi Leo Jung meant about his distinction between ethical universalism and church universalism, because the church cares more about whether you accept the church. Have you accepted Jesus' sacrifice? If not, well, then you are still sinful. Within Judaism, it's about your action, not about race, not about creed, not about color of the skin. It is purely based off action. Even the acceptance to become within Judaism is once again a question of action. So, to bring these ideas together, Rehersh opens up about the importance of mission, and Once again, it is a positive move. Yes, it has an air of justice about it, but it is a positive move towards the love a couple is able to share together, because marriage blossoms when there is love between the two, and love comes about through higher purpose, through higher mission. And if you have someone who's from a different perspective, a different mission, well, then you no longer have that. You no longer have that union, and you no longer have the Jewish mission. You no longer have a participant in this journey. You've lost it, because that cannot take place if one is a Christian and one is a Jew. We then moved on that it isn't because of a distance from the non-Jew. The way the Torah itself tells us not to intermarry is because of action. It's about ethics. It will draw you away from your mission. And we brought Rabbi Leo Jung's distinction between ethical universalism and church universalism. The church will accept you. The church thinks you're saved as long as you accept Jesus. Once again, the acceptance of Jesus. Within Judaism, it's about action. You can be you, I can be me. Whether you have a space in the world to come depends on your action. And Rav Hirsch sort of wraps this together with the closer you are to the non-Jew, the more boundaries you have to put up. And boundaries are put up not because there's no closeness. No, because there is closeness. Do you follow? It's not that there's no connection between the Jew and the non-Jew. No, it's only because there is a deep connection. We exist together. We live in the same communities. That's why Chazal instituted, from Rav Hirsch's understanding, the idea of lighting a fire. Something being cooked has to be lit by a Jew. Or wine has to only be handled by a Jew. This almost imposed distancing is because of the closeness that exists. Not only just historically, but also on the level of principle. If you look at the non-Jew as being a child of God like you, that draws you closer to them. That's when Chazal put in barriers. There'd be no need for barriers if there was no closeness. If the Jew looked at the non-Jew as being something wrong or something dirty or something bad, there'd be no need for these barriers. No, it is because of this ethical universalism that we all look at each other as being children of the Almighty, drawing back to Rav Hirsch's point about B'ni B'chayri at the Exodus. My children, my firstborn Israel. Yes, if we are the firstborn, then everyone else is a child as well. So, wrapping it up, thank you so much for listening. Why you shouldn't intermarry. Put it into a very succinct point. There is a mission to accomplish. That mission is accomplished through the love of a man and a woman, through a union we call marriage. If that isn't there, then no mission and no union. As always, thank you so much for your time. Have a wonderful week.